Hello. Welcome to another episode of Sophia's Choice, the Golden Girls podcast. I am Alan, and his motto is spread it around, ski.
Spread sunshine around, Alan.
Yeah, exactly. And he's trying to find his underwear in the big pile, Brent. Today we're going to...
I put my laundry up prompto.
I did love that line from that. Because remember, like, Blanche had asked, like, you know what I hate about Indy to parties or something?
Mm-hmm.
And Rose came back with trying to find your underwear.
Right, yeah.
It's a great comeback.
It is a great line. I will, like, I'm very prompt about putting up my laundry. I know some people sort of live out of their hamper. Like, they have their clean clothes hamper.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sort of, like, pull stuff out of there. I put mine up, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Others in my family sort of, they don't do that.
Now, when you say others in your family, like, what is your laundry circumstance like here? Like, do you each do your own, I mean?
No, like, I do all of the laundry.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, I go through and then sort it after the fact.
Oh, okay.
like, once it comes out of the dryer and everything like that. And then the pile that belongs to me, or the pile that's the community pile, like towels and stuff like that, I take care of and put up, and then everybody else is sort of, you know, everybody else gets their stuff, and then they just sort of put it where they put their clean clothes instead of, like, you know, in the closet.
Right.
Where they belong.
Well, see, I do the laundry at our house, and I generally also put all the laundry away. Now, occasionally things will get slightly backed up if, you know, whatever life causes it to be a little behind, but yeah, generally it's like once it's done, then it's all put away.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing is, like, for us, I don't know how it is for you, but we end up with about 6 to 7 loads of laundry a week between the five of us.
Yeah.
And so I usually don't put it away until all of it's done. So if something kind of interrupts in between, then it may be, like, an extra day until it gets put away.
No, we do, like, a load a day.
Oh, okay.
So
you do a lot of things day to day, it seems like, whereas I do things week to week. Like, I do one big shopping trip a week, but you frequently go to the store to get an item or two, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like a dinner worth of food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess
I'm kind of an in between.
I'm a carpe diem kind of guy.
Yeah.
I definitely do most of the laundry in our house, too.
Yeah.
Now, I don't do Alexis and Eddie's laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume when Alexis was younger, I did like probably all hers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole does help out with laundry a decent amount,
mm-hmm.
especially lately because I've been working more hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the baby, like, if we give him a bath in our bedroom, mm-hmm. our bathroom,
yeah,
we'll just throw his clothes in our hamper and we'll wash those.
Yeah.
But Alexa and I do most of his, I'd say at least half of his.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more.
Yeah.
But I always, and then I always fold and put ours away and then his as well if I'm doing his.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that you're really doing that baby a disservice by not just teaching him to stand on his own 2 feet. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm waiting until he's 3.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him 2 years. You know, that's all right. Year 3, all right, we need to start doing our own, you know, laundry, food prep, taxes.
You know, you do a baby's laundry, you clothe them for a day. You
right.
teach a baby laundry, you clothe them for life.
Well, then he'll also have to, he's going to get to the point where he starts growing out of those clothes. He's going to need to get a job so he can start buying new ones.
Gotcha.
So. Well, would you guys like to hear a few other intros that I had?
Of course.
Okay.
Well, you always want, you know, the next generation to have it better than you, so maybe he'll be the janitor.
Maybe. Maybe. God willing, Brent.
Ski, don't give up on your dream yet, okay? You can still get there. Don't listen to Brent.
You're
trying
a youngish
to shit on
man.
You can. Yeah.
My real dream is that, you know, I will be able to open up a business, and he will be my first employee, and then inherit
it.
Yeah.
There you go. You got 25 years till retirement?
Oh, I'll probably die. I won't retire, yeah.
Yeah, I know a little bit about Ski and Nicole's, some of their finances. And it's not that, they're kind of like NBA players. They make a lot of money, but they spend a lot, too.
Mm.
No, it's, Nicole refuses a budget. but yeah, it's, I think that Ski is definitely going to work until he's dead. Yeah. I think the only way he doesn't is if he gets disabled.
So, which something
is also
to.
A reasonable chance.
I'm sure I will too, but not by choice.
You get disabled by choice? Or
no, I'll work until I'm dead.
Oh, okay. Do you have a goal in mind? Like, is it just like a standard 65, 67, something like that? Or
yeah, like, Helena wants me to work to like 67 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, she's like, you know, you can't retire early, you know, you're just leaving money on the table. And I'm like, you know, no man in my family has ever lived until 67.
Well, how old was was your dad when he passed away?
I was like 65.
Oh, wow. I don't know. It is weird. I guess sometimes it surprises me. It surprises me both ways. It surprised me how old we are, mm-hmm. but it also surprises me how young, like, Ski's dad was, you know, what, 50?
58.
58.
Nikki's was 55.
Yeah. And my grandfather was like 62 when he died, 63, something like that.
Yeah. The men in my family seem to be a little more long-lived than that, but not, you know, we're not one of those families that lived into their 90s. Now, my grandma lived to be almost 90, but my grandpa, he probably was in his mid-70s. Yeah. My great-grandpa, I guess, same, the great-grandpa that was... But anyway, my great grandfather lived to be around 90. So if I take after that side, who knows?
Yeah.
But he was also a farmer, so he had that clean living.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we're going to be doing our next round of the playoffs. Yeah. So we'll be taking
it's our third to last episode.
Fourth to last episode. We got three more after this.
This math, I can't get it.
I know you really do seem confused. We've whittled it down to 12. Four teams in the Elite Eight have already been named, and today we will be whittling that down to a total of 8. So the rest of our Elite Eight will be determined after this. Then we'll have another episode where we go from 8 to 4, 4 to 2, and then two down to one. Yeah, gotcha. The Sophia's choice at the very end. Gotcha. So yeah, we're getting close. So this particular podcast series will be wrapping up soon enough, Brent. So. Stop wishing your life away.
So we get down to the final episode.
Yeah.
You know, we got 2 episodes left.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And let's say, you know, we talk about a pros, cons, whatever. We get a split vote between the two of you. Would you be annoyed if I just abstain?
I would insist that we redid the series. So just you abstain if you want, but you're going to have another 200 episodes to make up your mind.
Conversely, like if I feel one way and it's looking like the two of you are going the other way, you know, I reserve the right to filibuster until somebody switches their vote and joins with me.
You have the weakest constitution of the three of us when it comes to that. There is no way that you'd be able to outlast either of us. You would just fall asleep. You would be filibustered. So.
Don't underestimate my commitment to a bit.
I'll grant that.
I mean, I would say that is a strong commitment.
I mean, you do have that shirt on right now that says, I stand with Professor Cooper. What would you two like to hear? A couple other openings that I had in mind.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
That doesn't sound very convincing, Brent. See, look, you're already wearing down. And you're talking about filibustering. You can't even fucking make it through a regular episode, much less filibuster.
Those intros take a lot out of me.
Well, I was going to say, Brent, that he was grounded for catching a smoke in the boys' john.
I love that line.
So that would have been for you for sure. And then I also thought about doing a Ski the Finer Diner Davenport. And if you say something smart, he'll slap you silly. That would have been one for Ski also, I think. I don't know. Depending on if I was on your side or not, Brent, you might have been a cranky little stuck-up troll. But, you know, I don't think he did anything to earn that.
Yeah.
So, I'd say that. Well, one of you, I'm almost positive that he used this the first time around on this episode. But I also had a... It's people like him that are responsible for all the evil on the planet. But anyway.
What was that from? I don't remember that one. I just watched all these, but I don't recognize it.
I remember that Sophia, it was during a Henny Penny Straight No Chaser, because Dorothy was talking about, Rose was complaining about the ending of the play and not realizing that all the fowl died in that
one. Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, I think that Dorothy says something to the effect of like, oh, well, you know, it teaches them about the lessons of life. And then that's when Rose says, you know, it's people like you that are responsible for all the evil in the world.
Yeah.
And I thought the best part of that, though, was Dorothy's response was like, I deserve that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there's the new, I think we may have talked about it, the new Chicken Run movie.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about whatever.
So yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, so we followed that up. We watched Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, very nice.
Just because I wanted Cassidy to see, you know, the other side of the story.
Right.
So, it's such a great movie.
I feel like she was casting foxes in too dark of a light, and so she needed to have a little...
She was a little too pro-chicken.
Well, I also have some listener interactions. Oh, did you guys like to hear that?
Please do, yeah.
Right. Some weeks is why I should.
Bring it on.
Well, we got a message from CJ.
Oh, CJ.
Yeah.
Long time no here.
Yeah, it's not been too... I mean, he's been one of our most consistent listeners, for nice. Sure. It's Thank always you, nice to hear from CJ. Yeah. But he said, I hope you guys pick another show to cover, keep the name, or just do a general podcast, talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm still not sure what our long-term plans are, but I think the name of the show is our strongest feature.
Mm-hmm. And the artwork.
Yes, definitely, for sure. And he replied back, like the podcast Show Me the Winston, that podcast was named after the Ghostbusters character, but it was a general podcast about things you guys, and that at least we have the archive talking about the Golden Girls, yeah. So if we transition to a different format, yeah. We'll still have that archive.
Yeah,
I do True. Think...
You that know, is a great name for a podcast.
Yeah,
the Winston.
I agree. But yeah, I could definitely, you know, whatever we follow this up as, and the more that I think about it, the more that I do feel like a follow-up will happen, although I think there will be a hiatus in between Correct. This and the next one. I mean, Brent's made it clear that he's got important projects to attend to. So I think there will be a hiatus between this and the next thing, but I would be inclined to keep the name.
If you'd like to discuss it off the air, we can.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, I realize that you know, are an important man with many leather-bound books and the smell of rich mahogany throughout your house. but yes, at some point, perhaps we can discuss what these important projects are, just so that I would, you know, be more aware so that I wasn't making fun of you or whatnot, or whatever they may be. You seem like you're about to tell us, but then you're just not sure if you want to.
Yeah, it's only, I don't know.
It's not chemo, is it?
No.
It's not like, yeah, no, I've been putting it off.
I'm all holistic, you know. I've got some essential oils, and that's going to it's gonna cure these black lungs.
get some good black teas.
Exactly.
Well, now it does make me a little nervous, the way that you're being coy about it. I'm like, does he have something going on that he's not telling us about?
New family. he's been putting off going to see him for a while. And
you're not going to try to fucking move to Florida or some shit, are you?
God, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, I know that that's where your wife is from. Yeah, and yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, no. No. Yeah, we can talk about it off the air. It's fine.
All right. Well, Brent's got some important things to do.
I don't want to get into it, but long story short, like back when I thought, you know, there was a light at the end of the tunnel and we were wrapping this thing up.
Light's still way down there. It's way at the end.
Yeah. 4 more weeks, you said? 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
Three more episodes. 17 or 18 more weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going on hiatus. Long story short, you know. Back when I thought I was wrapping up or whatever, I was like, all right, so what's next? And I was like, all right, well, we definitely need to take some time off. And I was like, I'm going to have so much free time because we're not doing this.
Okay. You know?
And so anyways, I went ahead and I put together a book proposal and submitted it, and it got accepted.
Oh, wow.
So, like, with this, juggling this, I also have, you know, my first draft due because I have to have my final draft and everything submitted by July 31st.
Well, that's really exciting. Like, why would you hold that? Don't hide it under a bushel.
Because
you got to let it shine.
I don't want to jinx it. Or also just like, what happens if, you know, I get my, you know, final draft submitted and they're like, no, we changed our mind. This is not as good of an idea as we thought.
Well, so.
May I ask what it's about? Is it creative writing or is it?
Yeah. Well,
like
yeah.
A novel or?
No, not a novel. I'm not that creative or whatever. So.
But like nonfiction or
correct.
A
Well, I'm very excited about this. Okay. I can't wait to read what you write.
Yeah, if it comes to fruition and everything, I may ask you for our, you know, passwords again so I can post something on the Instagram okay. Saying, hey, everybody, buy my book.
I would imagine people would line up. Anybody who's listened to this knows that you're a smart guy and a funny guy.
Yeah, I'd buy it.
So, I mean, sometimes a little too smart for your own good, but in the written word, I'm sure that would work out well.
I've got, do you guys ever use Monday.com for work or anything?
No,
I've heard of it. I've heard advertised, but I haven't used it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Basically, it's like a project management.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm just using the free version or whatever.
Sure.
To sort of map out the thing. So anyways, I'm slightly ahead of schedule. Like, I have to have it, you know, submitted by the end of July. But the way things are going, I should have it submitted by the end of June.
Okay.
So I've got a month in there in case, like, life happens or whatever, you know. So it's coming along. But this time next week, I should be finished with my first draft. And then I just need to go back and do the second draft and then the third draft because I've got all those mapped out and everything. So.
Well, so if you want, it's cool. As a special feature on our final episode, mm-hmm. you can just read your draft to our listening audience and then get feedback from them.
Yeah. So pack a snack.
Yeah.
I owe them 60,000 words. Yeah. So.
That's about the same length of one of Ski's typical recaps.
Yeah. Exactly. So
chapter 12.
Well, I'm very excited to hear more.
That
about
is really
this.
Cool. Yeah, that's. However that turns out, congratulations on the opportunity.
Like there was, like just be very very clear. Like there was no advance or money or anything like that. It's trading hands. Like there's royalties or whatever if it ever sells a copy. You know, so it's not like they cut me a check or whatever.
Well, that's how you get started, though. I mean, if it goes well, who knows? I mean, you could be the next Stephen King.
Nah, it's no.
I guess I appreciate that you won't even let yourself dream. You're like, if I'm going to publish something and if it sells one copy, I'll get a dollar and that'll be good enough for me.
Have you ever heard me say anything that wasn't just totally niche?
No. Nor have I ever heard you say anything that was completely positive about yourself.
Gotcha.
So you become published. That's one more book than me and Alan have. So
that you know of.
Yeah. Exactly. His Harlequin romances that he...
Well, Ski and I, we write a lot of travel guides.
That's right.
They're called the Bros on the Road series.
Exactly.
It's quite popular. Some people would like a third perspective, but I think it'll just ruin the series.
Exactly. Can't have too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, that's very exciting. I'm genuinely very excited to hear more about it and to eventually read it myself. Yeah. So.
Oh, you don't have to read it.
Well, I mean, if you don't want me to read it, I won't force my, reading eyes upon you, but...
I get 10 author copies, so
I'd rather buy one, honestly. Oh, okay. So, but,
gotta pump up that algorithm.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to reserve, my thing until I find out what the topic is. Mm-hmm. If it's like, how to kidnap children or something, I'm probably not going to buy that. Okay. But...
He wants to wait till he sees the reviews and all that. Yeah.
No. I'm sure it'll be excellent. Whatever the topic.
So, I do have one other listener interaction. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, CJ, for writing in.
Yes.
This next, well, actually, I have more than one. I have about three more, actually. Nice. But we had one from Adrian.
Hey, Adrian.
Adriana, sorry.
Adriana.
And, she had said, awesome job, guys, only two away. Yeah. I hope you continue the podcast, which I think I might have mentioned before. But then I replied to her. I said, the last two regular episodes are out, but you can stick around for the final season recap and the playoffs. Or I hope you can, actually. And she said, thanks, I will. And also, I just heard the latest one, and you guys mentioned if we're going to miss you. And yes, at least I am, LOL. Again, I hope you guys keep going, because to be honest... as it's coming to an end, I get a little sad.
Aww.
So that was very nice.
That's very heartfelt. That's very, very kind.
Yes, I totally agree.
It's people like that that make me want to find something new to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally fine with taking a bit of a hiatus, but mm-hmm. I don't think the people will have heard the last of the three of us together mm-hmm. podcasting. It just will be, a break, mm-hmm. which... Brent obviously needs, because he actually does have something he's working on.
Yeah.
It's not just him needing to pickle more herring or sauerkraut. Yeah.
Exactly. They're going to come back with a 37-part infomercial in my book.
Yeah. We could do it like page by page and do it like break down each page.
So about stamps.com?
Well, I had also recently, now this one I just did a couple days ago. Well, by the time they're hearing this, it'll have been about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I put out our bracket so that people could see it and, mm-hmm. That know that our playoffs were coming.
I'm still trying to make heads or tails of it.
Yeah, I know. You're confused. But we got a message from Stacy. It was,
hey, Stacy.
As you like to call it, a meme or meme, as the rest of us call it. But it had, what's this guy's name?
Seth. Seth Myers.
What's Turd Ferguson? Seth Myers, yes. And then Seth Turd Ferguson Myers. It's go time because this is about our playoffs. Yeah. And then Ajnad Kabir, who I believe has sent us a couple messages in the past, said, I still have a lot of episodes to watch, but I am sure you will pick a very good one. My choice so far would be Season 5, Episode 1, Das Schalafisierdorm, which is German, but it said that it's called Sick and Tired is the episode. But
I remember that one. That was the one where Dorothy gets some bad advice, medical advice.
That one was very close to making the cut, but it did not quite make it. So I'm sorry, Ajnad, that your favorite episode wasn't in there, but maybe you'll find a new favorite in these last couple seasons.
Yeah, we've got quite a few from later seasons, like 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think had like some of our favorite ones.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Ranking wise, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got some good stuff ahead of him.
So. But when you guys rewatched these 16 for last week and this week, like, did you tackle them chronologically or did you take them like back to back?
I did them back to back per the matchups because I wanted to really like compare them to each other.
That's how I did it too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did that. Well, like I did chronologically. Like I, whatever the earliest one was, I watched it. And then I watched its competitor.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to the next one chronologically and its competitor and sort of worked my way.
I just worked my way down the bracket because I know how brackets work. And so so I didn't get confused that way. But, yeah, I thought, I'll tell you one thing, watching these 16 episodes, well, actually a total of 20 episodes over again, I have been, I don't know, just still impressed again at how good of a series it is. Because even these ones that we've come across, I was like, oh, I'm probably... Like, how did this one make it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's actually pretty damn good. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so we got 4 more matchups today, though.
We were right on target for that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are times when, like, I guess it's just, you know, you get a little bit away from something and you haven't seen it in a while. And maybe it'd be an episode where we didn't necessarily reference it a bunch since then. There have been a few that we've referenced quite a few times throughout our series. Like, Loin of Pork, obviously, has been a consistent thing we've
kinda
mentioned.
Kind of joke, yeah.
But, you know, even these ones that I kind of thought would, you know, that I kind of felt like, oh, how did this make it into our playoffs? And I watched it and I'm like, oh, yeah, it deserves it. Deserves to be there. But, anyway.
Last week, and I think this week especially, there were, like, a couple lines that I was like, I do not remember catching that joke the first time around.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, there was a few times where I saw one, like, well, this was last week, but where... It was when Sophia barges in on Angela and thinks that she's, you know, sleeping with
Tony.
Tony, yep.
And Mort.
Yeah, exactly. Same difference. Yeah. But she says something like that they're having an affair or, you know, that they've slept together and she's running around behind her back, something like that. And she says, like, running around, I can barely walk. And Sophia's like, oh, rub it in. You know, like she can't walk because she's been riding Tony all night.
Right.
But it was just a little throw-in that I thought was great.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, so Ski, you're going to be doing our little mini recaps for this
one?
I am. All right, well, let's get into our first matchup as we determine our fifth team in the Elite Eight.
All right, this, I actually ranked all mine with the seed numbers that we had from. So this matchup is third seed versus 14th.
Okay.
And the 14th was one in the wild cards.
Right.
Seed 3 was season 7, episode 24. Home Again, Rose, Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I, as you probably remember, I've stolen information from Wikipedia over the series.
Sure.
Just as far as, you know, written by, directed by, stuff like that.
Yeah.
This time I stole all of the recaps from each of these.
Very nice.
Since we had a bunch to watch and I had, you know, limited time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to steal one last thing.
Fair enough.
So, it's kind of funny because...
I'm sure you donate your $3 annually to Wikipedia so you can steal what you want.
Sure I do, because I support it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, though, because I was going to say, like, some of them are very short, some of them are surprisingly long.
Oh, okay.
So just since it's a copy-paste, if it's rather abrupt, we can talk about it more if we need more expanse.
Okay.
But so season 7, episode 24... Home Again, Rose, Part 2. As Rose undergoes triple bypass surgery, Blanche, Dorothy, and Sophia grapple with the possibility of losing her. Meanwhile, Rose's daughter, Kirsten, arrives and expresses her disapproval of her mother's living arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, it's short and sweet, but it covers it well.
Yeah, I would agree so. And she gives the impression, or she doesn't give the impression, she says that when this is all said and done, she plans to take Rose to live with her.
Yeah, now she does turn a corner at the end.
Yeah.
And becomes far less of a horrid person.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know, I think the die is cast. I think she's an awful person. But...
Well, I mean, she treats them with more respect at the end, I'll say that. Yeah,
that's fair.
And then 14th seed is Season 2, Episode 24. And this, again, was a wild card, To Catch a Neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And just to recap this one again, the girls allow two undercover cops, Joseph Campanella and George Clooney, to use their house as a base for spying on their new neighbors, who are suspected of being jewel thieves. Dorothy develops a crush on the senior detective, and Sophia takes advantage of this. In the middle of the night, the neighbor's house is raided as they try to sell the diamonds, and they are arrested, but the junior cop is shot in the process, discouraging Dorothy's notions of a relationship.
Okay.
Now, they say that Sophia took advantage of this, but that they leave out the fact that she had, like, the tax, like, issue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't she get, like... Not maybe tax, but like
Social Security benefits. Sending her a bunch of checks that she's not supposed to do.
She had the bag of money.
Like, 700 grand or something like that.
It was ridiculous, a lot, yeah.
Amount of money, yeah. Well, I did think that was a good episode, and obviously it has one of the biggest named guest stars of the entire series with George Clooney. No. Who are you going to say?
Joseph Campanella.
Ah. I mean, I know that was the joke, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Yeah. I also like, see, that was one that would have been a good visual joke. If we had a video podcast, just seeing your face, your resignation, when like, you knew what I was going to say, and I knew what you were getting at when you were starting to interrupt, but you still played it so well. Like, that was a Dorothy-worthy reaction.
I agree. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
But yeah, I thought it was that one's a solid episode and a big guest star, and even though the other one, Joseph Campanella or whatever, isn't as household of a name. He was a really good guest star in the episode.
Yeah, he was.
That said, I feel like that the Home Again Rose Part 2 was a superior episode. I just think, as far as dramatic episodes go, it was really good. But it also had some good comedy in it. And, of course, one of my favorite scenes of the entire thing is her in her dream state.
Three heads on a platter.
Exactly, yeah, like Futurama style. Yeah. And that's what sealed it for me as far as putting it over. So my vote goes to Home Again Rose Part 2. Mm. How about you, Brent? Where did you fall? Or Ski, either one. One of you want to chime in?
I agree with you.
Okay.
That was one of the most iconic, like, scenes in probably the whole series.
Yeah.
And so that with also like the kind of gravitas.
Yeah.
I think it won it for me.
Yeah, we have a couple in this week's playoff episodes that have a big dramatic portion to them, this being one of those. So what about you, Brent? Are you on the right side of history? Did you vote the other way?
I went with To Catch a Neighbor.
Oh, of course you did.
I was like, it'll be a cold day in hell before I vote for an episode with Kirsten.
That's a stance I can get behind, though.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that. It is funny, because Rose has had, you know, like, obviously that, her daughter was awful. And then there was the episode with, it wasn't her daughter, but Miles' daughter, where Miles' daughter was awful to her. Yeah. Like,
ultimately, Miles was awful to her.
Yeah, yeah, Rose had a lot of people be awful to her in this series, and she doesn't deserve any of it.
And she killed two dudes with sex.
That's true. So I guess maybe she does deserve some of it.
No wonder she spends her birthdays with her head in the oven.
Yeah. I think she's just doing that to warm up.
It's cold in Wisconsin.
Exactly. All right, well, Brent, once again, you're on the wrong side. So let's see, out of our eight matchups, or I should say not eight matchups, so, well, this is our ninth matchup we'll be talking about. Okay. So that's what puts you at 6-3 now?
Something like that.
No, I think it puts you at even worse than that. I think 5-4. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, let's see how this next one goes, Ski.
All right, next matchup was seed 11 versus 6.
Okay.
11 was season 1, episode 15, so all the way back to season 1, In a Bed of Roses. And then 6 is Season 3, Episode 1, called Old Friends.
Mm-hmm.
In a Bed of Roses, we see Rose's date dies while they're having sex. And since her late husband, Charlie, also died during sex, she vows never to sleep with another man again. The man turns out to have been married, upsetting Rose further. but is reassured when the autopsy reveals he was actually terminally ill, despite not knowing it. It's an even greater relief for Rose when she discovers the man was in an open marriage, and his wife, therefore, condoned his philandering. I don't think I agree with
that. I don't agree with anything in that, honestly. Like,
we know the lady, the wife was, like, aware of it.
Yeah. But I don't think it was exactly an open marriage. I mean, I think she just basically was like, yeah, resigned. This is who we, yeah, that's what I would say. And also the fact, too, that he didn't have a terminal illness. He just had a lot of plaque buildup in his heart. So he was a ticking time bomb, perhaps, but he didn't have a terminal illness. So Wikipedia, you failed. Take that $3 back, Skip.
Yeah. I also don't like the fact that, you know, it says, like, while they were making love. That makes it sound like Rose is an inconsiderate lover.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm finishing.
She
rolls over, gets to sleep, and he is also sleeping, right?
I mean, maybe she was like, wow, you can go all night long. You're still stiff after.
I kind of hope he died after, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you think that if you die with an erection that it stays erect?
I think it does.
Okay.
Kevin Smith would say it does.
Is that from one of the movies?
Clerks 1.
Ah, okay. I didn't remember that specific line in that. But
yeah, well, like
she like dies on the toilet with an erection.
Oh, that's right.
He was looking at porno mags or something.
Yeah. Well, what about the next episode, Ski?
Next one. Let's hope they do a little better job on this one. Old friends. At a beach, Sophia meets an elderly widower named Alvin. The two become friends and enjoy spending time together on a bench at the beach. However, as the friendship deepens, the old fellow's behavior becomes erratic, and she learns he has Alzheimer's disease.
The old fella.
That's what it says.
He has the Alzheimer's disease, you know, as opposed to the Alzheimer's sandwich that they serve at the beach.
Right.
At home, Blanche accidentally gives away Rose's cherished teddy bear to a little girl named Daisy, who is a sunshine cadet. When Blanche tries to get the bear back for Rose, the girl holds the teddy for ransom. Actually, that was one of my favorite Rose moments of the series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of her most clever things she did. Yeah. She grabbed the teddy bear, says, life's not fair, and shoves Daisy out the door.
Mm, that was solid. But at the same time, I feel like Daisy could have still tried to go to her parents and complain about that. But maybe she knew that she was beaten at that point. At least that's what we can assume, I think. So, yeah, I feel like... so, Brent, where did you come down on this matchup here?
I went with season 3, episode 1, Old Friends, and I was like, this is the closest one in my mind. You know, I ended up giving In a Bed of Roses a 7.98 and Old Friends a 7.99.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And I think the deciding joke was when Alvin said he worked on Sundays from 12 to 1.
Yeah, I noticed that he was like 1 hour a week.
That was a joke I completely missed the first time around.
I did too, I think.
Yeah, that was solid. How about you, Ski? Where did it fall for you?
I also picked Old Friends, so season 3, episode 1.
Yeah, to me, Jenny Lewis as Daisy is easily the best child performance of any of the Golden episodes. Yeah. I mean, honestly, as far as a child in any role, I think that her role there was perfection. I don't see how she didn't become a huge child actress after that episode.
They should have gotten her on for Golden Palace.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she would have been a lot better Oliver than Oliver was. Imagine how Golden Palace would still be running today if Jenny Lewis had played the role of Oliver on that.
You think America was ready for Don Cheadle to be raising a Jenny Lewis?
Maybe, I don't know, it could have pushed
forward. We find out that her parents, because she was such a horrible child, they gave her up at a later age.
Yeah.
And
well, let's see, that would have been season 3, episode 1, so yeah, she would have been about 5, 6, yeah, she would have been almost like a late teens or so, yeah, that would have been a little more awkward, I guess. Well, if they could have given her the Gary Coleman disease and kept her young forever, then I think Jenny Lewis would have been a fine Oliver.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, that one got my vote too. I just thought, don't get me wrong, I think that you know, the In a Bed of Roses is really solid. The best title for any episode of the whole series, maybe.
Sophia's Choice was pretty good.
That was, yes, it was.
I liked Adult Education.
Did you? It educated us in multiple ways.
That's true. It makes you laugh, it makes you think. but yeah, and I also loved, I mean, as far as the dramatic stuff goes, I think that the whole part with Alvin was really good. I mean, it was a, you know, genuinely like an emotional feeling kind of thing when when you realize that, you know, poor old Alvin isn't doing so well.
Yeah.
So
exactly. Have you guys had people with Alzheimer's in your life?
I mean, my grandmother had dementia, which is very similar, at least as far as, you know, mental deterioration goes. And that was pretty tough. I've said before that I really pray that I do not outlive my brain, that I want to go physically before I go mentally. And honestly, like, for our comedy podcast here,
Alan,
if I had to pick the most likely way that I'll leave this earth, it'll probably be in my own hands. And not even like that I'm like, oh, I'm on the verge of that right now or anything.
So like Stanley?
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like if I went to the doctor, say I was like 70 years old and I went to the doctor and he's like, oh yeah, here's what the problem is. You've got early onset dementia or, you know, Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Then my next stop would be at Don's Guns. And then, you know, my next stop would be in a field somewhere.
Nah, you can see that field and be like, why did I come here?
Well, hopefully I didn't catch it before it was that advanced. But I don't know. Like I
pray that is never a choice you have to make.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And not saying that I hope you die early.
I hope that I'm never put in that position also.
I hope you're an old man with all his wits about him.
Yeah, I just hope that by the time I get that, I'm not too old and frail to go to Don's Guns. Yeah. I imagine myself shooting a gun and then, like, falling back, you know, like at the firing range. Yeah. Not like shooting myself and falling back, but like one of shooting those steps, like when Mr. Burns shoots a gun and then goes flying off backwards. Like, that would be me as an old man trying out a firearm. But anyway, so yeah, so 3-for-3 on that one. We're all in agreement. So you're back on the winning team, Brent.
Yay.
Congratulations. All right, Ski, how about our next matchup?
Next matchup was Seed 7, which is Season 4, Episode 6, Sophia's Wedding Part 1. Mm-hmm. I guess we didn't care about Part 2 as much. And then Seed 10 was Season 8, Episode 18, another one from Golden Palace.
Mm-hmm.
You've Lost That Livin' Feelin', which had by far the longest recap I think I've seen in any of the Wikipedia recaps.
Okay.
So Season 4, Episode 6, Sophia's Wedding Part 1. It says, Sophia's dearest friend, Esther Weinstock, has died, and Sophia must confront her friend's widower, Max, played by Jack Gilford, whom she has always blamed for causing the pizza knish stand owned by Max and Sophia's husband, Salvador, Sid Melton, to go out of business by betting a day's profits on a horse race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you bet a day's profits and you're out of business, probably not a solid business.
Yeah, the business may not be as good as what you think it is. Yeah. You know, if one day worth of sales is enough to put you out of business.
But this may be wrong on the recap.
No, I think that's kind of what I remember it being, is that like he's like, yeah, I bet the day's, it wasn't necessarily the day's profit per se, but it was like the day's take, you know, so everything they made for one day.
We're out. We can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It says, betting the day's profits on a horse race. But at the repast, the truth comes out. Salvador gambled the money away, and Max lied to save their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This leads Sophia to see Max in a new romantic light, and the two eventually marry, much to Dorothy's frustration. Meanwhile, Rose and Blanche start an unofficial Elvis Presley fan club, starring Quentin Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because I think they call it like an unsanctioned unofficial.
Something like that.
But it's like, well, who sanctions it? Because they were sanctioned by some governing
body. They got permission. Like Rose like sent in for permission, right? And then that was like how the episode began.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Smithsonian's not going to send that pork chop just to anybody.
Right.
I don't know. I think I'm with Dorothy. The king would have left that much meat on it.
So, yeah, so we had, again, two good episodes. I mean, they're all good episodes at this point. But, yeah, it was fun seeing Quentin Tarantino there at the end. Although I feel like he did the weirdest of all the Elvis, because I was looking at the others, and he was just doing some weird thing with his hands back and forth, like he was shaking some maracas or something.
He's like the finger snap, like mid-50s.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an odd one. Like, I didn't feel like his did not at all remind me of Elvis. He looked like he was having a seizure more than he was.
It was a very niche impersonation.
Sure.
You ready for the next
one?
And
you're a niche man. So.
I am.
But, yep, go with the next one.
All right, Season 8, Episode 18, You've Lost That Livin' Feelin'. Like I said, this is the long one, so buckle up.
Okay.
The Golden Palace. The Golden Palace holds a grand reopening celebration to improve business. A local news team has been invited to the hotel to cover the event, and Rose has arranged for food critic Gerald Davenport to review the hotel's restaurant. Chewy despises Davenport for previously giving him a bad review. When Davenport is found dead, Chewy worries that he may have accidentally put rat poison in Davenport's meal. The news team arrives, and the body is hidden in the kitchen walk-in freezer. When a city health inspector, Mr. Tucker, arrives unexpectedly at the hotel, Blanche distracts him while Rose stuffs the body in a large suitcase to covertly transport it elsewhere. Rose abandons the suitcase in the lobby in order to distract the news team. Roland, unaware of the body's location, delivers the suitcase to hotel guest Mr. Mitchelson, who owns a chain of travel agencies. Which I think is a critical piece of info for the plot.
Yeah, I would say.
Later, Roland, Blanche, and Rose sneak into Mitchelson's hotel room and retrieve the body. However, they are forced to drop the body down the laundry chute when the news team approaches. Ultimately, Mitchelson and the news team see Davenport's body. The hotel employees pass him off as an unconscious drunk man and promote a new designated driver program for the restaurant customers. Mitchelson recommends the hotel to his fellow travel agents, and the employees learn that Davenport died of a massive coronary.
Yeah.
Hooray. That one is extensive. It does cover it well.
That does. And that was a full-on farce of an episode, and I thought it was a really, really good one as far as that goes.
A lot of sight gags, a lot of physical humor.
Well, just the whole, like, you
ridiculousness.
Know, yeah, one thing walking in, just everything going wrong, you know, just one thing after the other, you know, until it came to a conclusion there at the end. But so Brent, how did you feel about that matchup between those two?
Oh, and with Sophia's Wedding. I mean, I think if you got Elvis and Tarantino, it's impossible to beat. And plus, you know, just seeing, you know, Max in his little white undershirt gives me hope that I, too, can age gracefully.
Well, I'll be really curious to see where Ski falls on this one, because this could go down as my first loss. This was easily my favorite episode of the Golden Palace.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was really funny from start to finish. I don't know. I guess I like that farce kind of thing. It feels like a throwback to older times. You don't really see that kind of movie so much anymore. And I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was good from start to finish. And that, you know, I wasn't ready to say goodbye to Golden Palace just yet. So so that one got my vote. So Ski, you're the deciding factor on this one.
Ooh.
So are you keeping my unbeaten streak alive or giving me my first loss?
I gotta say I liked the wedding. But not so much the depiction of the caterer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a different time.
Sure.
Back in the 80s and 90s, you made fun of everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
especially marginalized.
Yes. People who were being picked on anyway need to pile it on, man.
Yeah.
But I did go with, that was my also probably my favorite episodes of Golden Palace, so I went with it.
Nice. My unbeaten streak continues. And Brent, Another one in the loss column for you.
But I still have hope that you'll age gracefully like Max. Never I'll get you a wife beater tomorrow. I'll send it in the mail.
Never before has somebody been so excited for having sided with Ski.
Well, it's so rare that Ski's on the side of history.
He really views it as I'm siding with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a perspective thing.
Yeah. Most of the time when Ski presents an opinion, other people are like, should I agree? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a deterrent more than anything, yeah.
But
he actually feels less sure of his decision now.
Rethinking his life.
Right, all of my choices up to this point. All right, Ski, we got one more matchup here to finish off our Elite Eight.
All right, this one was the 18th seed versus the second seed, so, you know, if you just go off of, you know, who should be the higher, the, you know, second seed, I would think would blow it away. But let's see what everybody thinks. 18th was Season 3, Episode 25, Mother's Day, which was a wild card, but I think a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
And just another recap of that. Waiting for their children to call, the girls reminisce about previous Mother's Days. Dorothy remembers asking Stan's mother for money. Sophia remembers an incident involving her mother, played by Bea Arthur. Rose reminisces about a motherly lady she once met at a bus station. whose biological daughter died many years earlier, and Blanche remembers the last Mother's Day she spent with her mother. So, actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A few sentences, but it works good.
Covers it well.
And then second seed is season 6, episode 26, Henny Penny, Straight No Chaser.
Mm-hmm.
When the measles quarantines Dorothy's students, the ladies take over the roles at the school play, Henny Penny. Meanwhile, Blanche's ex-boyfriend plants a fake obituary in the paper, claiming she died at age 68. Sophia continues a decades-old chess-by-mail rivalry with her old nemesis from Sicily. Short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah.
But I will say, if I have to make a prediction, I don't have to make a prediction, I'm going to make a prediction, this is probably my favorite episode.
Oh, okay.
I think this may be my favorite. It doesn't even have all that much, like, drama or anything, but, like, I love the play. I love the fact that all of them are, like, so involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I thought it was an excellent episode.
Now, I'll say this. I won't give my vote yet. I want to hear what Brent has to say.
Yeah, I kind of gave my hand away there, yeah, didn't I?
So we know where Ski's going. I'll say this much. I do feel like that Henny Penny performance they put on,
mm-hmm,
is maybe my favorite scene of the entire series. Yeah. I think that's a great scene, great costumes. Just all around excellent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But
I love that production.
So, but is that enough to sway you to give this your vote, or where are you going with yours?
The two, so I'm also going with Henny Penny, Straight No Chaser. Just like you, I'm a big fan of that actual production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought the subplot about, you know, Blanche and her obituary was also really good.
Yeah.
I also like the timelessness of the episode, just with the whole measles outbreak in Florida.
Could happen any time, couldn't it?
Exactly. And then also just another joke that I just missed the first time around, when Sophia's the narrator and Dorothy shows up as the turkey and Sophia refers to her as self-basting.
Yeah.
I just really like that joke.
I don't think I even caught it the second time around, but yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't want to reveal my vote just because then it would take the drama away from yours. But yeah, it's a 3-for-3 for Henny Penny.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Mother's Day is probably my second favorite clip show.
It definitely deserved to be in the running.
But yeah, I love Henny Penny. And so that production, that one scene is enough to carry it through this matchup for me anyway. But like you said, I think the subplots are really solid on it too. Yeah. And it's nice sometimes having an A, B, and a C story, mm-hmm, gets a little too much,
mm-hmm,
but the little Sophia, you know, C story wasn't too much to take away from the A and the B, so I thought it worked out well.
Yep.
Nice addition, so.
Yep.
All right, well, we're down to 8 episodes now. Not 8 episodes of us, don't worry, Brent. Just 8 episodes we're debating on as we continue on, so just to...
Do you want
to
do that this week?
Do you want to do another little extra this week?
So we put it off last week, or last time we recorded. We had Mad Libs things I made up.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how we want to do this, if we want to, like, pause while we do it, but I think in the past we've just kind of talked through it. I got some little worksheets for both of you.
Okay.
You both got pencils. Correct. All right. And then there are prompts, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So Ski just handed us, if you haven't done a Mad Lib before, I would have to think almost everybody has done a Mad Lib at some point or another. But basically, you get a list of things you need to fill in, like a fill-in-the-blank. It could have adjectives, nouns, verbs, person's name, things of that nature. So Ski has handed us a list of prompts with name a golden girl, type of flower, verb ending in ing, name a chipmunk, a Latino name, verb, past tense, room in a house, type of flower, famous Johnny, women's accessory, type of animal, rhymes with air, verb, ending in ing, and name of a group of cats. So that's all the things we're going to fill in. So we're going to pause here for a moment, but we'll be right back as far as your ears are concerned. And then Ski's going to read off our story with his...
Before we get started, would you like to hear what several different types of groups of cats are?
Sure, yeah.
I went ahead and looked this up.
Okay.
So in case you need, you know. So snow leopards, a group of snow leopards, they have no name for that because they are so solitary.
It's
almost unheard of to see more than one by itself. Kittens could be a litter or a kindle.
Okay.
House cats, a clowder. Cougars, also a clowder.
Okay.
Tigers are a streak or an ambush.
Okay.
Leopards are a leap. Jaguars are a prowl or a leap. Cheetahs are a coalition. And lions, of course, are a pride.
All right, very nice. All right, so there, if you're trying to fill it out yourself based on me quickly running through what they are, then you can do so. So are we going to have two different Mad Libs here?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I'll read, like, we'll say yours first and then Brent's, and then I'll read the actual clip because it's a, so the premise is this. Alan and Brent provide answers and prompts. We use a random paragraph from a previous episode recap.
Okay.
One of my recaps.
Okay.
And then whoever accidentally gets more of the story correct is the winner.
Oh, so we're trying to fill in the answers with what we think it might be if we were guessing.
Well, yeah, it's just random. Okay. I mean, it's...
So we're not trying to be funny. We're trying to be accurate.
I would think both is better.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll pause now, as I threatened to before.
Like I said, whoever's accidentally right.
All right, our answers are filled out, and now Ski is going to read through this Mad Lib as best he can with my terrible writing, and then with Brent's, I'm sure, less terrible writing.
Yeah, it's just as bad. I didn't use block letters.
Oh, okay. Well, that probably helps at least some.
All right, so like he had said, I've got them numbered 1 through 14, and I'll just insert the answer into the paragraph.
Okay.
So Rose is sitting in the kitchen table, still crocheting when Rose comes in and asks what she's doing. Sophia snarks back, I'm running pooping, or running or pooping. I guess it's...
Well, no, so just read the second word if there's two words.
Okay. I am pooping, Rose, get lost. She apologizes to Rose for snapping at her and explains that she's just upset, telling her that she had a fight with Alvin. Rose tells her that she's depressed too, missing Chewy. They go back and forth about why they missed their friend, ending with Sophia saying that she never... shit.
I thought she was just pooping.
Well, she didn't finish, she got interrupted. Gotcha. She never shit with Alvin, though.
That's true. That's... But she was too busy looking around the beach saying, oh, this would be a great place for a Knish stand.
Yeah.
But always wondered about that myth. She then had to explain to Rose it's the rumor that black men in the boudoir. Just then the doorbell rings. Rose, Dorothy, and Blanche all go to the door to answer it. It's Rose, and she tells them she was wrong to ask for gifts. Blanche is relieved that she's come to her senses, but Daisy continues that she now just wants Johnny Mathis?
Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville. Oh, okay, sorry. So she can get exactly what she wants. Blanche turns to go get her Merkin? Is that it?
Yeah.
Merkin. But Rose calmly stops her. She then starts talking to them all, but staring at Daisy, saying there's a good lesson to be learned in this matter. Then in one quick motion, she grabs the red... ass baboon?
Yes.
And shows Daisy out the door while saying, sometimes life just isn't derriere.
Mm-hmm.
Kiddo. She slams the door and turns around, smiling at the girls while motorboating the bear tightly. Blanche and Dorothy look back at her, beaming with, what's this word?
Didn't you say, oh, that's Lee? Hep.
Oh, hep.
Yeah. A group of cats, a hep cat.
Oh, I like that better. So. All right. So that's one.
Okay. It's awful.
Ironically, so you guys recognize the scene,
oh,
though,
sure,
right?
Yeah, of course.
I wrote this several weeks back before I realized that this would be one of the ones that we discussed today.
Oh, that worked out well then.
Yeah. All right, here's Brent's now.
Okay.
Sorry, that probably sounded very choppy.
Yeah, I guess if we were to ever do a Mad Lib in the future, it's probably be something where the word is actually in the story, kind of the way that you typically would do a Mad Lib, but go for it. I'm excited to hear your second one.
Oh, so this is going to sound similar, it seems like.
Right.
Rose is sitting at the kitchen table, still crocheting, when Rose comes in and asks what she's doing. Sophia snarks back, I'm rising. Mm. Rose, get lost. She apologized to Rose. Rose is holding a lot of plot here, isn't she?
Yeah.
She apologizes to Rose for snapping at her and explains that she's just upset, telling her that she had a fight with Eleanor.
Mm. Oh, fair enough. Yeah. With one of the girl ones, yeah.
Rose tells her that she's depressed too, missing Elena. Right? Elena? Mm-hmm. They go back and forth about why they miss their friend, ending with Sophia saying that she never rose. Hold on. Rose with Alan? Okay.
You needed a verb.
Yeah, it works. Alvin. But always wondered the truth about that myth when she learned that when she had explained to Rose that's the rumor about black men in the lanai.
Hmm.
Just then the doorbell rings. Rose, Dorothy, and Blanche all go to the door to answer it. It's Rose. And she tells them she was wrong to ask for gifts. Blanche is relieved that she's come to her senses, but Daisy continues that she now just wants Johnny Rose. So she can get exactly what she wants. Blanche turns to go get her brooch, but Rose calmly stops her. Then she starts talking to them all, but staring at Daisy, saying that there's a good lesson to be learned in this matter. Then in one quick motion, she grabs her lemming. Is it mm-hmm. lemming?
Yeah.
And shows Daisy at the door while saying, sometimes life just isn't derriere, kiddo. She slams the door and turns around, smiling at the girls, while rising the bear tightly. Blanche and Dorothy look back at her, beaming with coalition.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I don't know. Not one of your best segments, Ski.
No, sorry, guys. This is poorly thought out.
Your idea was good. The execution was poor. And, of course, you also have to figure out, with anything like this, Brent's going to be trying to amuse himself more than he is anybody else. So that's why he was, like, looking for every opportunity to use Rose in there again.
Even Broach seems like it was trying to rhyme.
But I appreciate the effort, Ski.
Would you like to hear the actual...
No, I think we're good. I don't think it matters which one of us got more of the words right, because it was kind of an odd thing, because it was somewhere between humor and, you know, like trivia or something like that, like a game of skill and a game of humor, but anyway, I still appreciate the effort on the game. They can't, trust me, I've had at least a couple awful segments, and it beat either of those. So,
I mean, if nothing else, it taught the group, you know, a whole bunch of names for groups of cats.
That's true, yeah. I mean, it was, listen.
Mildly educational.
I hit my pinnacle of special features with Fess Up with Fess Parker. Oh, yeah. And that was in season one, I believe. Maybe season two, but it was early on.
Yeah.
I think it was actually the first episode I ever recapped, mm-hmm. so it was pretty early in our production. But anyways, so, well, we've got our Elite Eight. Should I go through those one more time just to reiterate? All right, so the eight episodes still in contention. We got season 7, episode 25, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, part 1. We have Mrs. George Devereaux. We've got The Way We Met, The Artist. We have Home Again, Rose, Part 2. We've also got Old Friends, Henny Penny, Straight No Chaser. Oh, and also, yes, You've Lost That Living Feeling. So those are our 8 episodes that are still in contention for the greatest episode. I'm kind of glad that we have a Golden Palace in for, there in the finals.
Yeah.
So, anyways... All right, well, next week we're going to be whittling that Elite Eight down to a Final Four. Mm-hmm. So definitely stick with us as we finish this journey off of getting to the greatest episode of the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else to add for either of you?
I thought this was pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, I enjoy this playoff.
I've actually been really enjoying rewatching some of the episodes.
It's nice rewatching them with the lower stakes in a way, like about not like really trying to dissect them as much, just sitting back and enjoying them, and then kind of making a decision. And I've liked that aspect of it too. So, all right. Well, you got anything else to add, Brent?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, then, until next week, stay golden, Coco. Hey, thanks so much for downloading today. If you enjoyed that opening, you should definitely check out Ashley Jade on YouTube. She has a bunch of awesome compositions on there.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at sophiaschoicepodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at sophiaschoicepc. We plan to have a new episode out every Monday. If you have a moment, give us a rating on iTunes or wherever else fine podcasts are downloaded. And of course, stay golden.